Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's kind of funny seeing somebody going through the church with the ladder.
I was going to give it to you. They're
going to
go fix something.
Oh, great. So I could stand on it.
No.
Only Bill.
Fix something.
Anyway, you know who I am, but for if anybody's watching through YouTube, I'm Paul A. Baalbek III. Today, we're at Faith Bible Church.
Yeah.
And we're at Adult Sunday School. And it's 8/22/21. So I'm starting out good, getting a date, everything in. I'm going to be the regular adult Bible study teacher now. And got some big shoes to fill. And did you ever ask Dave what size shoe? I think he said he was like a 14. Some big
shoes. That's not actually what I'm wearing.
And so nobody will ever fill Dave's shoes. You know, I know that. And so I don't really even try it. You know, I'm just available to the Lord. But Dave was like, when you came to his class, just to give him a little honor before I start, was like going to seminary, you know, almost. He was like a professor of the word, man, without the tradition involved, you know. So with that said, it was suggested, Boyd actually gave me a good suggestion, since Dave was teaching through Ephesians, that if, you know, I would start that back up. So what I did, some of you might remember when I filled in for Dave when he was kind of sick, I started a series on all our spiritual blessings based on Ephesians 1:3. But that was 2019. So I bet you don't remember what I went over. So I said, I'm just going to start that series and finish it. If the Lord don't come back, you know, no. And then I'll be going through verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. And what a blessed book. So let's open up with prayer and seek God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of grace. Thank you that you're holding back your wrath. You're being long-suffering to a world that is just getting worse and worse. And Father, help us to shut everything out and focus on your Son. Focus on your Word. May your Holy Spirit, as always, be the real teacher here. May everyone here and who listens to the audios or watches the videos on YouTube, may they be edified, comforted, encouraged, and challenged. Not only to know the doctrine, but to apply the doctrine in our lives. And so we give Christ all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm just going to read the first three verses. I'm not going to exegete them later. I'm going to start right at the beginning of the book of Ephesians. And, you know, I was watching what Dave did, man. That dude's so, you know, will get so many verses in, like I always said. But you never know, because everyone's different, and I might see an insight that he didn't see. So we'll start after I do the series. Because I think expository teaching, verse by verse, is the best. And then there's a place, like I'm going to do, this is topical. Because, well, let's read the verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So why I started that series before was, how are you going to rejoice? You know, Paul tells us what in Philippians, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When you see some repeat in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is emphasizing, listen up. It's very important. So God wants us to rejoice, right? Aren't you glad that he don't want you to be afraid? And is God going to get me today for my sins? And we go, you know, I put on Facebook, I always ask for prayer when I'm going to teach or preach or whatever ministry. And I said, I'm so glad, I'm thankful that I have a church I can bring my family to that teaches God's grace and his word rightly divided. So we know God's not out to get us and squash us when we sin. You know, we know God's not dealing with us in our sins. It's in our new identity in Christ, right? So I'm very thankful for that. But how are you going to rejoice if you don't know what to rejoice about? Right? So that's why I thought, like, you see Paul here, blessed be God. He's praising God. He's thinking of all the spiritual blessings. And then all through the book of Ephesians, he's going to lay them out. There's all these spiritual riches, right? And through his, all his epistles. So I've heard somebody, actually, I believe it's Brock, and I got it on our book table, the Grace and Truth book table out there, where he lists like 100 spiritual blessings. I'm not going to go that long. We'll be in there, you know, for a long time. But I think I got about 47 that we're going to go over. And today, now, if we don't know, like we read this, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Many people, if I asked, what spiritual blessings do you know about that we have in Christ? I mean, I won't ask, you know, people to say it, but I want you to think, how many could you bring to the top of your head? Because I try and do this all the time. I think about my spiritual blessings, and then I want to thank God for it. And then you're rejoicing. You know, if you're dwelling on everything going wrong, you're not going to be rejoicing, right? If you're dwelling on this fallen world, you're not going to be rejoicing. But if you're focused on Christ, because what Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord, right? That's where you find the rejoicing in. So we're going to start out this morning, our first spiritual blessing, and I'm going to try and get in two, but for sure one, would be the blessing of reconciliation. That's such a blessing, man. You know, we were separated from God, right? We're in this world, following the course of this world, under the prince of the power of the air's authority. God took us out. That's one of our spiritual blessings. Transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his dear son, right? So, it wasn't always like that, you know, in other ages, right? Especially for Gentiles, you know? So, we're going to look at that, and then possibly, if I have time, the blessing of redemption. You know, redemption, he purchased us with this price, right? With his own precious blood. And when I think about that, I think Christ laid his life down for me. Why? Only because God demonstrated his own unique love. That's the only reason, because I wasn't worth it. Yeah. People go, well, Christ thinks, I'm Facebook, you know, I'm ministering a lot on there. Christ thinks I'm to die for, like I'm this wonderful person. No. He loved you enough. It's not none you had because you were so attracted to God. We were revolting in Adam. We're unrighteous, right? Well, coming up short and continue to come up short, right, Bill? And I always say, look at Bill, some come up short than others, yeah. But he's looking at me like, yeah, you do. I am. He says I'm shrinking. I'll mention some real quick, and then we'll get right into this. I went to the doctor when I turned 50, I think. And I was always 5'4". And he said, you're 5'4". No, I was 5'5". He said, you're 5'4". I said, oh, no, I'm 5'5". When you're short, you know, if you got a half inch, you're going to hold on to it. And he goes, no, Mr. Baalbek, after 50, every 10 years, so maybe I was 60, you shrink an inch. And I'm like, I can't afford it. Bill would have busted up. So anyway, let's look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 25. Back up a couple books. Honey, could you give me some water, please? Or Chris? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, he will. I can take it from the hood. You know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about reconciliation. Some people go to extremes that the whole world is reconciled, so they're all saved, they're all going to end up in heaven. Some will say even Satan's going to Show me that in Scripture. And then others will say, you know, they go to another extreme because they're trying to battle this one. It's sort of like, I don't know if you remember, I did a series on Thursday night, whoever came to my Thursday night study, a little small group. Anyway, on the Holy Spirit, His ministry in the dispensation of grace. Because I thought it was important. You know why? Because of the extreme Pentecostalism and charismatic movement, they focus more on the Holy Spirit, I think, than Christ or, you know, the Father. And there's this extreme, and all these things, they say, this is the Holy Spirit, you know. And I mean, crazy stuff, some of it. And I used to be a Pentecostal for 6 years at least. So I love Pentecostal, so I'm not putting them down. But when I learned to study and learn how to rightly divide, I found out a lot of that stuff was just a lot of emotionalism. You know, built up, get the drums going, the beat going, and work people into a hypnotic sort of a state. And you can, you know, Frank Mesmer, he's a father of modern hypnosis. He could touch somebody or take a wand and make them fall or shake or cluck like a chicken, a dog. And, you know, and in the extremes right now, it's called the counterfeit revival. They're saying they're doing them things. Snoring like a pig, you know, getting drunk in the spirit. One guy's going, we're smoking the Holy Spirit. I'm like, man. So anyway, then you have, say, dispensationals, you know, that understand dispensationalism. And they sort of tend to not talk so much about the Holy Spirit because the extremes. So I thought the Holy Spirit's ministry is so important in our lives. So how is the Holy Spirit working? And then so I did a series on that. So even this reconciliation issue, starting to speak in tongues, they'll have us coming back. I think there's a lot of unbalance, you know, just so let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Now let's start in 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Well, what's that mean? See, if I just kept reading, that's reading the Bible. Studying the Bible is way different. There's a place for reading. If I'm on the bus, you know, traveling, I might just get out my Bible and read it. But for my daily studying, I want to study because you're going to get so much more out of it. Asking who's speaking, whom are they speaking or writing to, and what dispensation, why is Paul mentioning this or whoever's writing? Why did Christ mention some things? So we got to look at it. What's he mean? Yet we henceforth, though we knew Christ, according to the flesh, the idea, you know, so when was that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So when you're studying the Bible, that's Christ in its earthly ministry, ministering under law to the nation Israel, right? Well, in the dispensation of grace, we don't know him. We know him. We know he's Israel's Messiah, right? He's their future conquering king. He's going to come back after the rapture, 7-year trib. Christ comes back, splits Mount Zion, right? And in power, boy. But we know him as head of the body of Christ. Just go to Romans 16:25. Because most churches this morning are going to be preaching Christ according to prophecy that was known in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know, that was prophesied. It was known he was coming as the Messiah. They had to believe that to be saved, that he was the Messiah. They had to get water baptized, didn't they? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. They had to sell everything and follow him, right? That was that prophetic kingdom gospel. But today, and we should study, you know, there's some ex-dispensationalists that don't think it's important to study other books outside of Paul. Wrong, because Paul quotes all kinds of Old Testament. All Scripture is profitable, right? So we study it all, but you get the most profit when what? You rightly divide it. Because before Paul says all of it's profitable, he said study to show thy 2 Timothy 2:15. Everybody should have that memorized, I would think, here. If you don't, you should. You know, and part of my responsibility is exhorting. So study to show thyself proved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, what?
Writing the word of truth.
You got it, you know. So to get the most profit out of God's word, we rightly divide it. So you learn how to rightly divide it, right? And that's God's method that has his approval of Bible study. So we realize, what's one division that we have to rightly divide in God's word? Law and grace, right? There in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what did Christ say? I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So what's he doing in his early ministry? Fulfilling the law, he's teaching under the law, he's teaching the stringency of the law. That's why he said, you've heard it said, you know, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman with lust, you committed adultery in your heart. See, he was showing the law demands perfection. Maybe you didn't do it out here, but you did it in here. So the law shows people their sinful natures. It reveals it. You know, even the most moral person, if they're honest. Like when I heard, you just got to realize you're a sinner and trust that Christ died for your sins. You know, he's buried in your book. I'm like, no problem. I'm an honest sinner. I knew what things I had did. You know? So anyway, today we don't know Christ in the flesh. Right? How do we know him? And how should he be preached? And this is not being done. I'm so thankful for the little scattered grace churches around, you know, different countries. And this is how Christ is supposed to be preached. Romans 16:25. Now to him, God, who is able to establish you. And the idea of establish, if you go to the Greek, it means a steadfast, solid, firm, immovable spiritual condition. You want that in your Christian walk in life? Sure, I do. Well, how are you going to get it? Keep reading. Now to him who's able to establish you, how? According to my gospel, so Paul's got a unique gospel, right? For the lost and for the body of Christ. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, how should he be preached? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Christ's early ministry wasn't secret, right? Didn't the prophets prophesy about him? You know, all over. Isaiah, you know, all over. That was known. But what wasn't known, the dispensation of grace, and Christ would be the head. God was going to form the body, many members, one body, one head, right? And the head's supposed to turn the body. A lot of times we're trying to turn the head. God, instead of praying God's will, we're praying our will to God. Thank God he gave us Holy Spirit, because we don't know always what we should pray for, right? And he intercedes for us. So speaking of his ministry today in the dispensation of grace. So anyway, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So now we can understand why Paul said, though we knew Christ according to the flesh, we don't know him like that anymore. Now we know him as head of the body. And there's a reason for that. Israel, the believers in Israel, the disciples, remember when Christ said, who do men say I am? And, you know, Peter says, some say, you know, Isaiah, blah, blah, you know, a prophet. And when he say, who do you say? Who did they know him as? Their Messiah. You're the Christ, Son of the living God. What's Christ? Their Messiah, right? Anointed one. So they knew him like that. So we know about him like that, but we know him, as Paul tells us, all through his epistles, right? As head of the body, not in his early ministry. What'd he do? He died, he was buried, he rose, he ascended, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in authority over a power, every power, principality, power, might, dominion, and we're seated with him. What a privilege. One of our spiritual blessings we'll be going over later. No wonder when you start thinking about your spiritual blessings and when you know you don't deserve it, you start doing like Paul. Blessed be God. Bless you, God. Bless you. When you appreciate it. But then I see some people, I think, that have been brought up in a grace teaching church and been around the grace message for a while, like, they don't get excited. I always pray, God, don't let me get apathetic about your grace. I never want to get like that. I want to stay passionate. I want it to cause, you know, how I always say, great, you ain't grasped grace unless grace has grasped your heart. If it doesn't cause love and passion for the lost and want to edify and build up the saved and we serve one another, then we ain't busted a grape in our understanding yet, you know. So anyway, we know how we know Christ now, right? So we understand why Paul wrote that. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. Old things have passed away. Who we were in Adam's passed away. We're in Christ now, right? We're members of the body of Christ. We're no longer unrighteous in Adam. We're totally righteous in Christ. What does Paul say at the end there? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That what? We might become the righteousness of God in him. If you're a believer, you are the righteousness of God. Your new nature is totally righteous and only wants to serve God. But I always teach this because I didn't know it, the two natures, the doctrine of two natures. When I was a young Pentecostal, I used to wonder, am I really saved? Because why do I want to do this? Why did I do that? And they would teach, you know, holiness, you know, make you feel, you know, you leave church worse feeling than when you went. Like with your head down, you know, and I thought God's disgusted with me. And, you know, now I know when God looks at me and looks at you, he's smiling because he sees Christ's righteousness. You're so identified with Christ and his resurrection, ascension, and you're actually seated with Christ. Say, how's that? Well, here's my body, short body, right? How am I seated with Christ? And even if, boy, you're a little tall, brother's tall. As tall as you are, how? I need a tall elevator. But how are you seated? Because you're in such union. God took you out of Adam. And you learn about these things in Paul's epistles, right? You won't learn about them outside of Paul's epistles. Romans 6, right? You died with Christ. You were buried. So you died who you were. So you don't got to listen to psychobabble that comes into the church. We got to go back and examine your childhood. How was your relationship with your father? You know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I had such a terrible childhood. That's dead. That's not you anymore. You know where you go back to? The cross and the resurrection. That's where you began. And then look who you are in Christ. Learn your identity because these spiritual blessings sort of intertwine with our identity in Christ. When we look at the gift of righteousness, you know, that's our identity and it's a spiritual blessing. Have you thanked God for it lately? I hope so. So, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And not only, you know, who we were in Adam, old things like the law. We're not under the law. God nailed the law to the cross. We find that out through Paul, right? You don't find that out through the other 12 kingdom apostles. Behold, all things become new. Praise God. And is it because we turned from all of our sins, repented, and committed our lives and determination to serve God? No. What's it say? All things are of God. Because even God got the gospel to you. And his Holy Spirit convicted your heart of knowing your need. You know, and somebody, the Holy Spirit in someone, I remember the day I got saved. I thank God all the time for that person. Like I said, they're on TV now. I won't mention their names. Maybe in private I would. if you ask me. So I'm sure after church, people come up, who was it? But I would never follow that person now. But that day, boy, God used that person, and I'm eternally, eternally grateful. But that tells you one thing, too. You can be grateful, say you went to church, and that's where you got saved at. You heard the gospel. And then you think, well, I feel this loyalty. But now you're grown in the scriptures, and they're teaching some things. You know, I had to leave a church because I couldn't take it anymore, the legalism, you know, because I started growing in grace. And so you don't have to, you can still appreciate them, but you don't have to stay there, because if you, legalism and religion, what's the pastor say? I think the word religion is a, yeah, in the Latin has the idea of shackles, yoked. So am I going to stay and financially support even a church that's going to put shackles on me and my family? I don't think so. You know, exactly. And we're free to what? Serve God out of. We used to sing a song, I was singing it here in the Pentecostal church, that I want to serve you in the morning, serve you in the noontime, serve you. Serve you, serve you till the sun comes down. Yeah, that's Mary's place. But that's what grace causes, right? We love him because he first loved us. It's funny, in my Bible study, well, we called somebody who's going through a real bad time. They're grace believers. And anyway, Mary starts singing a song. That's Mary's gifted, you know. So I was sharing scripture, and as Mary's saying, I jumped in here and there. And Lisa, her name, she says, it was a beautiful song until you jumped in, Paul. I'm like, I know. So I messed with her at the Thursday night Bible study about that. So anyway, I sound the best. Good acoustics. So in verse 18, in all these... all things are of God, who has, that's past tense, always recognize the tenses of words, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is our commission here. We're not under, Christ gave what? The 12 kingdom apostles and then other kingdom believers, what they call a great commission. Christ don't call it the great commission. He gave them a commission, but you see, you know, because sometimes it depends what denomination you follow. They'll go to here for their instructions. Like, if they don't believe in the gifts, then they don't go where Christ, I give you power over, you know, serpents, and you can drink poison, and you know. But then you'll get the Pentecostal type. They go to that. So anyway, what did he say after his death, burial, and resurrection, before his ascension? Go into all the world, right? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Peter was preaching that. What was it? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you receive the Holy Spirit. But he said what? Beginning in Jerusalem. Then they could go to Judea. Then Samaria. Then all parts of the world. But they could never get out. They never got out the land of Israel. Do you know that? Because Israel had received their king and their Messiah first. So in Galatians, the pastor will go over that. Do you know they released themselves from, you know, where Christ gave them instructions, whatever they bind on earth, we'd be bound in heaven, whatever they loose. Peter realized something, and when in Galatians, when Paul went there, and they agreed in what? Gave Paul a right hand of fellowship. They would go to the circumcised. That wasn't in that commission, what they call a great commission, was it? Go there, then. Well, they seen something. They loosed themselves from that commission. Because they saw Christ gave, for the dispensation of grace, Paul a new commission. And I think you know, no matter what, if it's from God, it's great. But I think a greater commission today. It's not through Israel's uprising, right? It's through their temporarily, their fall and temporarily being set aside. I always remind people it's temporary. Because there's a lot of teaching that says God's done with Israel, so we're spiritual Israel, right? And we get all their blessings, and, you know, they don't want to get their curses, of course. But this is our commission. This is what we're supposed to be telling the lost. I always say, you got so many Christians protesting. And I don't even got to mention what it is, you know. But this is wrong. They're telling unbelievers, quit doing that and act like a Christian. They're doing what they do. They're sinner, rebellion in Adam. What do they need to hear? The gospel. The reconciliation, right? We've been here. And all things are from God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what are we supposed to be telling unbelievers? And all through the world. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So at this time in the dispensation of grace, God's not pouring out his wrath, is he? Is he, you know, throwing a lightning bolt at somebody who's molesting a kid?
No.
Or all the evil that goes on in the world. Or even when we sin. He's not punishing us. Why not? Because God's holding back his wrath. Right now he's being long-suffering. But at the end of every dispensation, you know there's always brought judgment. Remember at the flood? God was being patient with the nations, wasn't he? What about with Israel? Before he set them temporarily aside, he was outreaching. They were stiff-necked people. And God was patient. And, you know, but what happened? Judgment came. Once God calls out us, his ambassadors, we're on loan to planet Earth, once he calls us out, there's going to be a time like the world's never known, Jesus said, right? 3.5 years. And now all that is the tribulation period. So stick this a little in your head. Because you got, you know, we would hold to a pre-trib rapture, right? That's a consistent view of Scripture if you go to Paul's epistles. Now, if you think the rapture is before Paul's epistles or after, you're going to get confused. Like where Christ said, you got to endure till the end. Well, that's a tribulation period. He's preparing them, right, to go through that tribulation period. And, you know, Calvinists would say, see, if you don't persevere to the end, you were never saved. No, you just don't rightly divide the word and you don't know what you're talking about. You know? The first chapter of Ephesians that we're going to go into, you know, it destroys the Pentecostal charismatic teachings. Like you get Jesus and then tarry for the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit later. What does Paul say in Ephesians 1:13 and 14? You heard the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed, you received the Holy Spirit. Out with the charismatic, you know. An emotional experience. I don't care how you feel. You know, I had experiences when I was into that, but I didn't care. I says, God, I don't care. I want to know truth. Are tongues for today or are they not? And as I researched it, I saw what tongues were. They were a known language that they never learned. Just look in Acts chapter 2, right? These were Jews coming from all over, right? Some of them didn't even speak Hebrew. They were in other countries, but they come for the day of Pentecost, the feast, right? And they heard them speaking in their own language. They didn't hear them go, Nashanakatahai, Shanai, Shabaraka. Excuse me, God bless me. No, that's not actually Paul corrects babbling. He thought, you know, and where he talks about if I speak in the tongues of angels, and he's being sarcastic, because in the Bible, what do you hear the angels speaking in? The language who they're speaking to, right? So he said, just a clanging cymbal, just a bunch of noise, you know. But anyways, let's go back to here. So God is holding back his wrath and dispensation of grace. Praise God for that. You know, I see a lot of believers, and we should hope for the rapture. It's our blessed hope, right? The way that the things are getting in the world, you know, but there's always been stuff. You know, there was fear before, like the nuclear bomb time. Do you remember that, boy? People were building shelters under their house, you know. Kids had that fear. That then you had other things, wars, you know, Vietnam. Different. There's always been things to fear, and you know, but God is right now. He's not causing them things. There's a prince of the power of the air, right? He's got a course for this world. That's who's behind all evil. So don't get your focus on people, and I hate them so-and-sos, you know, because they're puppets. Satan's behind it all. Get angry at him. And he's got a governmental structure, right, in the second heaven, if you want. And he's causing all the evil. You know, people blame God. Well, if God's loving, why is he, you know, he's called, or you know how they say, act of God, if your house gets gone with the turn, why blame God? You know? God's not punishing people today. Actually, I don't know if you remember years ago, there was a famous guy on TV that said they were getting these earthquakes in California because all the gays. And I thought, how terrible to tell unbelievers. No wonder they think God's their enemy. In their mind, like he's just waiting to get me. I don't even want to think about him, you know. I'm going to walk an aisle and ask Jesus in my heart and commit my life. He'll probably strike me dead. You ever have somebody ask come to church? The roof would probably fall in. I'm like, it didn't fall in on me, and I probably did worse things than you. Yeah. So, anyway, where it says he's not counting their sins against them, okay? So some would teach, okay, because Christ did die for everyone's sins, didn't he? Okay. But until you trust, because if you look farther down in the end of verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. So God did the reconciling. He dealt with the sin issue because what's the wages of sin? So if he didn't deal with sin once and for all, and on the cross Jesus says what? It is finished, right? If he didn't deal with that, what would happen when we sin? We'd spiritually die, just like Adam did, right? So God dealt with the sin issue, okay? But there's more of a problem. When we're in Adam, lost people are in Adam. I've been listening to Dave's in honor of him, where he's teaching through Ephesians, you know. And so, and God sees two type of people. Dave pointed this out. Those in Adam, those in Christ, right? In Adam, though Christ dealt with people's sins, they're still spiritually dead in Adam. They're unrighteous. And they're spiritually dead. And what's a dead man need? Life, right? So God did everything. Because since, what is, when you reconcile something, that means something separated. Like in a marriage, you know, they're separated, they get reconciled, right? All right. Sin was separating man and God. So God dealt with the sin, so now every man, every woman, every child is in a position to trust that Christ died for their sins. He was buried and rose. Then God declares them righteous. And it's justification unto life. And he gives them spiritual life. So that's what I'm saying. God dealt with everyone's sins. Christ died for all. Otherwise, unless you want to be a Calvinist, he only died for some. Not from what I read. He died for all. But just because he died for them, see, the problem is people think reconciliation or forgiveness is salvation. You can't have salvation without forgiveness, but don't mix the two. You see what I'm saying? Just keep your finger here. Go to Romans 5:10. I'll show you what salvation is. Romans chapter 5:10. I guess I should go to 5 instead of chapter 9. And speaking of reconciliation, right? Well, go to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we justified? Through faith. Faith in what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We trust that Christ died for our sins, right? He was buried and he rose. You know, this was, we believe the scriptures. And God declared us righteous that moment, right? Now, that's justification. See, there's reconciliation, you got justification, and then you got salvation. Look at what salvation is. For if when we were enemies, see, here's the reconciliation. Because Christ died for our sins, dealt with the sin issue. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So his death and his shed blood brought what? Forgiveness, reconciliation, right? Look at what Paul says. Do you catch this? Much more. There's more than just being forgiven and justified. Because if you were spiritually dead, when we were dead in our sins, in Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in our sins. God made us alive. So much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That word life in the Greek is Z-O-E, Zoe. It's a quality of life. See, you have a bios life. That's like, you know, people write biographies about their life. You know, it tells about their life. But this isn't that word. This word is Zoe. It's a quality of life. You know what quality of life it is? The kind of life God's got. The kind of life when Christ resurrected from the dead. Resurrection life. That's salvation. That moment, the resurrected Christ came and indwelt us by his Spirit forever. And we're secure, right? Sealed. We got God's seal of approval. We're God's children now. We're saints. We're members of the body of Christ. All spiritual blessings, right? Let's go back then. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Looks like this is the only spiritual blessing I'm getting in today. I'm doing worse Thursday at the Thursday night Facebook Bible study I do, me and Mary. I got in 2 verses. I thought, man, I only got... But that's studying. See, when you study, you exegete, you dig out what's there. And as much as you can say, do it, say you're spending a few hours, like, if I want to know about something, it drives me crazy. You know, I start getting out different books, my Vine's expository dictionary, Greek and English words, concordance, some commentaries, see what their insights are. I just got to know, you know. And so that's what we need to do. So we could dig into this for probably a few weeks, and you know, you'd come back later, and my old pastor used to say, God's word is like a rose. It just keeps blooming and blooming, you know, like a never-ending rose. Because it's infinite, his word, because he's infinite, right? And that's why we keep studying, because you say, well, I've read the whole Bible. You ever hear somebody tell you that? Mm-hmm. I don't believe the Bible. I read it through. I'm like, really? There's people who study it for years. You know, theologians, and they're still learning. And you really, you read it, right? And then they ask them a question about something in the Old Testament. They'll be like, I don't remember that. Oh, but I thought you know the Bible now, right? So, in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So here's our commission, that we go into the world telling lost sinners, instead of telling, act like Christians, quit doing that and do these things. And then they think you're self-righteous and better than them, and you're looking down on them. Tell them about God's love. God demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. He died for you. And he says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're on loan to planet Earth. We're only here for a short time. So what are you going to use your time sharing the most? I mean, life is life. You've got to deal with things, right? You've got kids and, you know, school. But what's the most important thing? We don't know. Do you think Dave knew he was going to go be with the Lord that day? And we don't know our day. So what do we want to do? We want to redeem the time. The days are evil. Paul encourages us. I challenge, first of all, you know, again, you got one finger pointed out, three back at you. I challenge myself, and that's what I try and do. Redeem, use my time, not only to give, make people be informed about everything going on. It's reach the lost. That's the most important thing. And God desires what? That all be saved, and then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. So the best thing you can do, invest your time, the most of your time, and your goal is to reach the lost with the gospel and build up and edify the saved with the gospel of grace. Teach them how to rightly divide the word. Teach them the mystery. I love your daughter. When she's a little evangelist. She, you know, he goes and does a tent when they got community things, and they take tracts and, have you heard the good news? I'm like, how sweet. And what are they going to say to a little girl? Get out of here, kid. You know, unless you're W.C. Fields, you're bugging me, kid. Yeah, but anyway. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. You know, God has such love for the lost. He doesn't hate the gays. I'm not saying he doesn't say that's wrong. Read Romans chapter 1. But he loves them. Christ died for them. And the adulterers, and the liars, and the thieves, and the prostitutes, and the pimps. God, Christ died for them. Do we got a compassion to want to reach them? Or do we look at them like the Pharisee? Sinners. This is God's. I always pray, God, give me your passion. Let me see people through your eyes. Love them through your heart. And he said, now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. How are they reconciled then? If God reconciled them, because they got to believe it. Believe what God said. And then they receive the benefits. Then they will get saved. And then they can be an ambassador, you know, and go out and reach the lost. And sometimes baby Christians have more fire than somebody who's been a Christian a long time. You'll see sometimes, like I remember when I got saved, I want to tell everybody, right, about the Lord. I was a Jesus freak. Muggsy's a Jesus freak at hood now. He's going to talk to you about Jesus. I want everybody to know. And then people been in church, calm down. Calm down. You know, easy. No, encourage that young person, right? I got to close out. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. This is what we tell the unsaved. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Well, what do they got to believe? For he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, Christ never sinned, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. You want to become right with God? You want to become righteous with God? You want spiritual life, eternal life? You want to know you're going to heaven? But you don't get eternal life when you get there. You got it now. You got Zoe for believers. I'm not going to tell an unbeliever, would you like to receive Zoe? Maybe I should, because it might interest them, then I can go farther. But anyway, hopefully it's been encouragement to you and made that a little clear. And dwell on that this week. Don't just leave church and what the pastor is going to teach. meditate on it and think about it. God, show me really what it means, reconciliation, and give me boldness with a heart filled with love to reach out with our ministry of reconciliation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for reconciling us to yourself through Christ. You dealt with that sin issue. We deserve death on that cross. He's dying our debt. He never sinned. We deserved it. And what love. And how could someone, when they've heard the gospel that Christ died for you, you think of the cross with his thorns pushed down in his head, beat up, his beard ripped out, his hands nailed to the cross and his feet and his back in shreds. And think of him with tear-stained eyes looking out with yearning for someone to trust in him. How could a person not? Only pride, I think. I pray, Father, if there's anyone unsaved here or listening, that they would recognize that they're an unrighteous sinner, they were born that way, and they need to be forgiven, and they need to be declared righteous as a free gift from you so they can receive eternal life. And for us who know you, Father, I pray you put a passion for the lost in our hearts and a passion to share and be bold, but to speak the truth in love, not rudely, about the mystery and how to rightly divide your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.